Welcome to Community Voices. My name is Lizzie Roars, and today I am joined by a member of Capital City Improv. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I am Carly Stroud with Capital City Improv. I am one of the co-founders and co-directors of the group. So my husband and I decided, hey, we want to have an improv troupe, so we did it.
So when you're talking about improv, I'm assuming it's a comedy group.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what does an improv group do?
What don't we do? No, I'm kidding. I don't know. That's a loaded question. So to start, we have a show coming up this Friday. This specific show is called Comedy Royale. So we have two different teams competing for bragging rights, essentially. We've got a trophy that we give out. But they'll go back and forth playing similar types of games, like that you would find on Whose Line Is It Anyways type games. And then the audience gets to decide who won that round. So they'll go back and forth for about 45 minutes. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do 45 minutes or so. And then we'll decide who wins.
So when someone's going to an improv show, when you're mm-hmm. talking about the audience is going to watch sort of a series of rounds, mm-hmm. is there a theme or sort of how do you pick what they're going to be doing?
So we have a list of games that we know and we like to play that the audience has reacted well to in the past. And we just kind of said, who wants to play what games? What games are your favorite? What ones do you want to maybe skip this time? And the troupe kind of decided this time that we were going to play this set of games and this set of games, but they don't know exactly which games they're going to be playing because that's up to the luck of the draw. Yeah, we just, you know, we've got a book of games that we look through and that's how we pick.
So when you're doing improv, obviously the point of it is that everything's sort of in the moment and, yes. and just as you go. So how do you prepare for something that's improvisational?
That's again, a loaded question. People always say, well, why do you have to rehearse for improv? It's so much more than just taking a suggestion and making it funny or trying to get the audience to laugh. There's so much science and technique that actually go into creating a good scene and a good game for the audience. So when we rehearse, we get together and we make sure that our group is solid. So everyone is kind of on the same wavelength. We call that group mind. So you can kind of guess or have an idea of where your scene partner might be going with the scene. So it's not chaos on the stage. So we do a whole bunch of group mind exercises. We make sure that we are all warmed up and, you know, ready to go out of the box and put ourselves out there and do crazy weird things that you probably wouldn't do in real life or even on like stage when you're in a, you know, a scripted show. So we do a lot of getting out of the box, making sure we're all have the group mind, and then making sure we know the games as well. My husband and I also, we don't punk the group, but we make sure we throw out weird suggestions so they're ready for anything that the audience might throw out. Depends on your, you know, your crowd. If you're performing at a bar, you might get some racier suggestions versus at the Hoagland, we'll probably get pretty normal. But we like to be able to be prepared for wherever the audience is going to take us.
So I think a lot of people, when they think of improv, they always think of the yes and
yes.
sort of statements.
Yep.
So beyond that, can you walk us through what a rehearsal is like for an improv group? What mm-hmm. what kind of exercises do you do?
Sure. So when we get there, we, you know, we sit around and talk for a couple minutes, just kind of connect with the group on a friendship level, because that's also very important, is liking your group. You know, dang it, you have to like everyone. So we connect, we talk about, you know, since the last time we talked to each other, how everything's been, those kind of things. We make sure everyone leaves their personal drama, those types of things at the door, because that doesn't bode well for a good rehearsal. After that, we do some warm-ups. So we start with a game called Pass the Sound and Movement, which is where you make a sound and you do a crazy movement and you pass it around the circle. And everyone has a chance to do their own sound and movement. So it kind of gets your body warmed up as well as your voice and your mind to let go of everything and just do what you have to do. After that, we have a different, you know, couple different games that we play. My favorite being Zip Zap Zop or Big Booty. I don't know if I can say booty, but
you can say booty.
Okay.
Please elaborate.
Yes. So Big Booty is a focusing game, and it's everyone stands in a circle and you get assigned a number in the order that you are in the circle. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 around the circle. And then you do a rhyme and you have to pass numbers back and forth. So you would say number 1, number 4, and then person who's number 4 says number 3, and 3 goes on to 7 and however many until someone messes up. So it's a focusing game to make sure you're paying attention to your number, but also paying attention to how many people are in the circle. So you don't say like number 12 and there's 9 people there. That's personally my favorite. I'm always Big Booty, which is like the queen or king of the group. They get to start the rhyme and get to play a little bit, but they mostly just get to watch and have fun. So yeah, we do those types of games just to kind of get our focus together, have fun with each other to make sure we're all on the same wavelength. Like I said, group mind is a big part of improv. So we spend a lot of time getting there, because we spend a lot of time apart too. So you have to make sure you can jump right back in to the group mind. After we do our warm-up games, then we jump into games. So for instance, we are doing several different games this weekend. So we would go over, you know, the basics of the game, how the game needs to go, you know, how, what suggestions you need, what types of ask you can ask the audience. So you're not always asking, we need an object, we need an object, we need an object. So you get, we need a location that can fit on the stage, or your favorite meal, or the last thing you did on the weekend, you know, those, coming up with different asks so the audience doesn't get bored with, you know, shouting out the same thing over and over. Deciding which ask would be best for which game, because there are some games that we're playing that are location based. So you want to get a location. But then there's other games it doesn't really matter. So maybe you get a relationship instead of a location, or, you know, those, you just kind of decide. Then we walk through the games, and if there's any extra time, which there normally isn't because we spend too much time having fun, then we do just basic scene work. So you said the yes and, we take the yes and just roll with it and just do scenes.
So how do you put together an improv troupe? Is it an audition process? Is it, you know, how is it? When people think of traditional theater, there's set roles that you get, yep, and there's parts you try out for. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between sort of traditional theater and how you put together a group for improv?
So, yeah. When you audition to be in a traditional show, you pick a role that you want to be, and then you either get cast in that role or you don't, or you get cast in the ensemble and you kind of do the supporting stuff. With improv, you get cast onto the troupe, and the way we do it is we look for potential in people, because improv is a hard thing, and it's extra hard because Springfield doesn't have a lot of it, you know, a lot of training in it. So if you haven't actually taken a class at the Second City or down in St. Louis at the Joke Shop or Laugh Shop, you know, you have no idea what the stuff is. So we audition for a troupe, and then our troupe right now is at like 16 or so, give or take a couple. And then for the shows, so we all rehearse together as a group, so we can get the group mind. We all are on the same level skills wise. And then for the shows, we say, okay, who's available for the Friday night show? And these 7 people are, okay, then you're in the show. Or if it's all 12 of us are available, then we'll do a little more audition-y type things to make sure that we have a good show ready. 12 improvisers is a lot to work with for a show. For the Comedy Royale, it's not, because you split in half, so it's a good number. But when you're doing just a regular improv show, you want to make sure you have a good number of people, but not too many, because then you get stuck with people who just kind of stand there off stage, or maybe they didn't get enough playing time. So you want to make sure you have a good quality show for your improvisers and also for the audience.
So since the humor is so off the cuff, I mean, mm-hmm, the point is to make it up as you go along.
Yep.
Do you find that the troupe sort of laughs at itself as much as the audience does?
Yeah, most of the time. We try really hard to not break on stage, but sometimes there are just moments that are so funny you have to laugh at yourself. And the audience loves it too. You know, when they know that you have done something so hilarious that even you think it's funny, then, you know, they even think it's funnier, more funny. Funnier is not a word. It is an improv, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah. I know a popular series is like the video series where it's people on SNL breaking character because they're laughing so hard.
Yes.
And it's that much funnier because then everybody thinks it's funny.
Yep. And you can tell. So there's a place and a time, and that's my husband and I try and make sure that the troupe knows that. You know, not every single scene you're going to laugh at yourself. The audience will laugh at you, but you don't have to laugh at yourself every scene. You kind of save that for the really, really funny moments so you don't overdo it. So the audience doesn't get the illusion that you are having more fun than them.
So how do you keep, because obviously, like you said, you don't want to laugh at everything.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep from breaking if something is, you know, it's funny to you, maybe not hilarious, but how do you keep from, like, you know, sort of breaking for a moment or laughing at it out loud?
So there's this thing that happens to you when you walk on stage, whether it's in a regular production, in a musical, or in an improv show, and you kind of get your show face on. And you just prepare yourself. You know you're going to go out there and the audience is going to laugh at you. You just kind of try and drown it out. You know, of course, we pause for laughter because you don't want to not be heard. I don't know. It's just something that happens that you just, yes, that was funny, but we've got other things to do. You know, the audience can enjoy it. We enjoy it, but not to the point where it's obnoxious. It's hard to explain. It's just like, I don't know, you know, you're on stage and you got to do your thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.